When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
The number one pick in the NHL draft, but the man that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's
Call him every trash, EMT for short. Wonder if we best, once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you yawn and grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Oh, yeah, Tuesday. I love the Tuesday. Who doesn't love the Tuesday? It's CMT. It's got all the trimmings. DNR with you, 98.7 ESPN. I mean, I love CMT. I love Stuff You Missed. I love the three stars. I love that the fact that we have 4 hours together. And I know Rick does as well. 1-800-919-3776. It's happening again. Mets win. Yankees win. I mean, you know what? This eclipse is a very good sign.
Sounds like
happening.
The Rothenbergs won last night.
Yeah, Alex, it seems like he suffered a concussion in lacrosse, so that was not a great thing. But in his
the
JV
reason why
debut,
he ended up having to sustain the concussion was
his third goal in about right. 5 minutes.
Right.
Yeah, of the first quarter.
He got cheap shotted.
You didn't like that.
I did not like that.
It was very dirty. So then Ben had a baseball game. I go to that. I get home, and Alex, he's calculating. He goes, you know, had I stayed in the game, I could have scored 34 goals. I said, I'm not sure you would have gotten to 34. He's like, why not? Why not?
I was like, why put a ceiling on what he can do?
Terrific.
You get three in the first 3 minutes. Come on.
Yeah. But no, really. So, I mean, you know this. So the concussion and the trainers was out on the field, and we had to wake him every couple hours. And it's so funny. I wake him. I'm like, they're like, just ask him his name. Like, anything. And so I go in. I'm like, Alex. What's your name? Dad, go away. It's Alex.
I'm fine. Leave me alone.
Yeah, he's like, just please go away. I want to sleep.
I want to score 34.
Yeah, 34. So, yeah. But, I mean, that Mets win. I mean, tell me as you're watching that you didn't think to yourself, they're absolutely going to blow this game. Like, unequivocally going to blow this game.
Well, forget blowing it. I mean, Juliette, you're down 4-0.
Right.
Right, and then find a way, Brandon Nimmo.
Nimmo comes alive.
The Rothenberg-type performance last night. Two game-tying home runs, and then, yeah, it's with how much you've had to use your bullpen, you don't have some of your better relievers available, so you have to find a way to piece it together.
When Ozuna
and
hit that ball.
TJ Stewart, first hit of the year, ends up being a two-run home run, and then you're right. I mean, the Ozuna went to left field. You're like, oh no!
I couldn't believe that. I couldn't believe it stayed in the park. I thought it was going to be 40 rows deep into the.
I think that's
stands.
What he thought too. But that was an unbelievable catch, and that's a huge win for them.
Huge win for them, and they never win games like that. Ever win games like that against Atlanta?
Dude, and on top of the fact, you're going up against Charlie Morton in Atlanta against, I mean, maybe the best lineup top to bottom in Major League Baseball, and you have Julio Teheran on the mound, and. Yeah.
You wonder, I mean, would you say that Atlanta is, and again, it's a great win and we want to get into it, 1-800-919-3776, but would you not say that Atlanta is one of the smartest organizations in baseball? Okay, they were like, Julio, bye-bye, we'll see you.
Well, right, I mean, he was at his house in Miami for like 12 days, right, and the Mets decided that they needed some help with the rotation, so they brought him in, but, I mean, there was no way when you looked at this matchup going into it. That you loved your chances
no.
in Atlanta.
No, and then down 4-0?
Down 4-0, they find a way. And this is a game, too, where Lindor, I mean, another 0-4 for Lindor, another 0-4 for Pete. I mean, Pete struck out on three pitches with the bases loaded.
If I would have told you Mets are going to score 9 runs and Lindor and Pete are going to look lost at the plate, you would have said there's just no way that's going
to
happen.
And I would have been, listen, it would have been tough for me to believe that they would find a way to win.
Absolutely. So I want to get into the college basketball. We'll get back to the baseball. Again, 1-800-919-3776. So, Ben had a game at Dutchess Stadium last night, which is the Yankees' single-A ballpark, the Hudson Valley Renegades.
Nice.
Sitting there, And what do you think of, not that everyone recognized me, certainly, but of the people that knew who I was, that come up and say something to me, what do you think the biggest topic happened to be yesterday?
Biggest topic yesterday was, the national championship game?
Nope. Not that they came up to discuss with me.
The Yankees?
Nope.
Mets?
Nope.
Rangers Islanders?
George Clooney.
Come on.
Guy walks up to me, you would allow your wife to be with George Clooney? I said, no, I didn't say that.
You said you wanted to be in the room.
No.
That's exactly what you said.
No, I said, had it happened prior to me meeting her, I would be okay with it.
Could you imagine
if
I was in the room?
About my wife with George Clooney.
Yeah, but not now. Like, back in the day. Back in the day. No, back before I was with her.
No.
Back in the day.
But you
I get to see what he's doing.
But you'd be with her still, though.
Yeah, that'd be fine.
Why would you just be randomly in the room?
Well, maybe I wandered in.
Let's grab this guy.
I'm looking for a place on Lex, and I'm like, wait. And I wander in.
Let's grab this guy off the street and have him watch.
Maybe there's a fondue, right? I don't know. I walk in. I'm like, what's going on? Oh, hello.
Hey, George, what are you doing exactly right now? Yeah. He seems to like it. Let me write some stuff.
You mind if I take a shorthand? three separate people. Not national championship game, not Mets, not Yankees, not Islanders Rangers. You would wear that as a badge of honor? I was like, yeah, absolutely I would. 100%.
I mean, it was the first text we got after the show.
Yeah.
Was about that.
Of course. Unbelievable stuff. So, no, let's get into UConn. I mean, my God.
Can we just mention, too, with the Mets?
Yeah, of course.
Brett Beatty.
Yeah, he had a good game.
Yeah, and even it feels like
it's coming along.
We didn't talk some of the defensive plays he made either in that last series. Couple of defensive plays he made, man. Even the base running last night. Great read, gets to second base before that DJ Stewart home run.
Yep.
Like you can tell he's starting to, and he's actually being more vocal too. You know what I mean? Like he seems like he's
good. I'm glad
he now feels like kind of like he's established himself a little bit, so he feels like he belongs. Which I say the same thing about Volpe. I know you want to get into UConn.
Oh no, it's fine. Like, Volpe, it feels like he has clearly gone into that next phase of his career.
They're 11 games in.
Yeah.
I'm all set with umpires right now already.
I told you weeks ago.
It happened in the Mets game.
It's time.
It was clearly a fair ball. Calls it foul. And it's like, maybe it was fair. It's like, come on, man. And then both of Volpe's strikeouts last night. It's like, this team
is. So you ready now for robot umpires?
I'm ready.
Okay, I told you that a couple weeks ago. And you're like, I don't want to take jobs away from people.
I was happy. He's like, come on. That's twice. Like, what are we doing here? Like, I pride myself
it's
on.
It's embarrassing.
I pride myself on knowing what the strike zone is and twice.
John Heyman, who is, I mean, he's terrific, but he's not looking for headlines. He tweeted yesterday, he said, at what point do we just stop letting Angel Hernandez umpire games?
He stinks. He stinks. And somehow it becomes about him, and he loves it.
Oh, he eats it up.
Absolutely loves it.
How strong is the umpires union? There's nothing they could do about this guy.
Well, I was listening to Kay yesterday. He's like, all the umpires love him. I was like, I don't care if the umpires love him.
I don't care if his mother Teresa.
I don't care. That's like, hey, his teammates like him. Well, he's hitting 048.
Right.
I don't care if his teammates love him.
But his teammates love him. But he hasn't gotten a hit since the Ford administration. Like,
That would be the equivalent. Like, player equivalent of Angel Hernandez. Like, what's his batting average? He's just a hair below 100. But his teammates love him.
Like if Joey Gallo was the most beloved player, do you want him on your team? No. He's unplayable.
No, like he could be like just the guy that hangs around the clubhouse.
You know what else I had happen to me yesterday? I didn't tell you this. So I'm at Alex's game, and then I'm in this, because 5 minutes in, he's done. Done. Can't play, on the bench. Obviously, they shut him down. But now I got to stay for the entire game.
Of course.
Which is another hour and a half.
I'll stop.
Well, you tell me you'll stop. I have five hours of
first
sport.
JV game. Stop.
I understand. So he's on the side. I'm there. It's very buggy. Bugs flying all over the place. Right after the game, I'm in the midst of speaking. Bug right down my throat.
Oh, you swallowed it?
No. So in front of like 10 people, I'm like, get it up, spit it out.
What kind of bug? Like a fly?
Like a gnat. Like a little. It was awful.
What a night you had.
It was awful.
This
is why I don't like to leave the house.
Yeah, me either.
It was awful. And then I'm thinking to myself, I don't know where that bug has been and the disease it could carry.
No, you're all right.
What do you mean? It could be a malaria-laden bug? No?
We take care of you.
Fine?
Yeah, you're fine. You didn't need it. You just spit it out.
Yeah, but still.
Choked it up.
Oh, I can't imagine those poor people who are with me. They're like, this guy's disgusting. But what was I supposed to do?
There's nothing. Either you swallow it or you spit it.
I got it out.
Yeah.
But it was...
Choice.
It was a fight.
Well, I can imagine. It's probably deep down there.
It sounded like you sucked it in. The uvula? You familiar with the uvula?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was in that area.
Interesting.
And I fought with it because he wanted to go down.
Oh, he did.
He felt bile, stomach juices. that's what he wanted. Right. And I fought with him.
Good thing you got a gag reflex.
Thank God.
Cough that thing right out.
My years of practice. And, right. And I was able to get that thing out.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah. So, national championship game.
Yeah.
I mean, I here's the thing. UConn is immensely talented. They are brilliantly coached. They are big game ready. And they were, again, for the second consecutive year. But this year, they were the hunted. They were, from beginning to end of this tournament, clearly the best team.
Right. And actually more dominant than they were last year.
Which is unbelievable.
It's hard to imagine that. And then last night, I mean, Edie had a good game. And it was clear that, we'll let him get his.
Absolutely. You will not shoot the three.
Right. Well, speaking of which, NC State, they made 10. Last night, they made 1.
They shot only 7.
Right. Well, but, dude, I'm telling you, I've said this the entire time. Even watching them on both sides of the ball, especially the offensive side of the ball, and when they, even how they handled the press, there's no panic at all.
None.
They run through their offense. They run through their sets. They're not sped up. It's just like they systematically just wear you down. We know we're better than you. We know we execute better than you. And by the time you get halfway through the second half, it's like, well, this one's done.
It was over. I mean, did you ever have a doubt that UConn was going to win that game? Because I never did.
No. And Edie got off to a hot start, too. And I was like,
well, Edie's terrific.
It's
so brilliant what Danny Hurley did. And he's a couple things. Firstly, if I was going up against him, I would hate him. I would detest and despise Danny
Hurley.
And
he probably would like that.
Did you see him yelling at Edie last night after the screen?
Yeah, he actually touched his players at one point, and they're like, no, you can't do that. Get back in the coach's box.
I mean, he is a wild man.
He is, and his players love him.
But if he's your coach, you love him. If he's the coach of the team you're going up against, you absolutely despise him.
Right, I tell you this all the time. Whenever I coach, for some reason, I talk myself into hating mm-hmm. the other coach to get me in like that.
I do the same thing.
He would be no problem. There would be no work.
You wouldn't need to.
I would look at him and be like, can't stand.
You would need to Michael Jordan, LeBradford Smith make up stories in your mind mm-hmm. about how he's a bad guy. No, look, he is a very, but if he's your guy, immensely likable, right? I mean, look what he's done with this program. This is their sixth championship in, 25 years?
Yeah, right. And this is the first back-to-back since that Florida team.
Right.
You talked about yesterday.
But the difference between that Florida
team
their
whole team back.
That was the entire, I think mm-hmm. the entire team came back. This UConn team was a very different looking team. I mean, some pieces remain, but for the most part, a very different looking team. And how about this? I'm looking right now. Favorites to win the national championship next year is
UConn and Duke.
UConn and Duke.
Yep.
So could you imagine if you had a three-peat?
Yeah, so why would you leave for Kentucky?
Because it's Kentucky.
Well, what does that mean?
Kentucky
is there's six national championships.
I get it, but when you think of if there was a team that had more championships than the Yankees, I know there's not, but if there were, the Yankees have that appeal. No, I mean, I'm telling you.
I don't know, man. You take the women's and the men's basketball. I mean, they're a basketball powerhouse.
Well, I don't know what the women's has to do with that.
In general.
I'm not denying that.
It's a school that's known for their great basketball programs.
And nobody cares about their football, right?
Oh, the thing.
Right. They are the thing. In that state, they are the thing. But listen, I'd love to see them stay. I like it when UConn is good and relevant. But there's something about Kentucky. I mean, when you think of, the model university for college basketball, I think Kentucky. You clearly think of Kentucky.
I think Duke, North Carolina. I think Kentucky.
I think Kentucky's right up there.
I think they're right up there, but I think UConn's right up there now.
Nah, I think they're up there in discussion. I don't think they're up there when you think of the elite teams. Listen, I hope he stays.
All right,
I just
but
think
why?
That,
okay, here's the other thing, though. So I'm going to leave this job.
Right.
And it's probably going to be if you did because for more money. And if, I mean, you think the prestige of being the head coach of Kentucky.
Right.
You just said what? I'm the favorite to win a national championship again.
Correct.
So I can three-peat? Well, I'll stay. We'll stay.
I hope he stays.
I think he should stay.
Here is Danny Hurley. Are you entertaining other jobs? I haven't heard this. I'm sure he's going to say he's not, but here he is.
Yeah. I don't think that's a concern. You know, my wife, you should have her answer that.
So,
wife ain't going anywhere.
No, she loves Connecticut.
So they write that check, and they're like, well, maybe we'll think about
it. Right. That's the thing. Kentucky is like Texas in football. They can write a blank check for what they want. They have donors that will give. I mean, he'll wind up getting over $10 million a year if he goes to coach Kentucky.
So does Arkansas, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
All that Arkansas money.
That's thanks to Jerry Jones.
Yeah.
Jerry Jones.
Cowboys money.
Jerry Jones buoyed that. Danny Hurley as well, on top of just winning, says this back-to-back more impressive than Florida and Duke going back-to-back.
It's the best two-year run, I think, in a very, very long time, just because of everything we lost from last year's team. To lose that much, do what we did again, you know, it's got to be as impressive a two-year run as a program's had since prior to whoever did it before Duke. To me, it is more impressive than what Florida and Duke did. They brought back their entire teams, and we lost some major players.
Listen, it's hard to argue with that. It really is. It's hard to argue with that. They brought their entire teams back. I mean, Leitner, one of the greatest college basketball players in the history of the game, Bobby Hurley, Grant Hill, Thomas Hill, and now they beat a better team than UConn ever beat. That UNLV team, the first run, was a sensational team, but this is one of those all-time performances from UConn.
And by the way, good for Danny Hurley, too. I told you I listened to him on McAfee, and it was a really good interview, but he was just talking about, you know, how hard it was for him to deal with the fact that his brother was Bobby Hurley.
Yeah, right.
His dad is a legendary coach, and kind of how do I fit? Like, what am I?
He was always kind of like the ugly duckling.
Dude, he locked himself in his dorm room and wouldn't let anyone in. Finally, he kind of sought help and started to figure it out. But now, I mean, establishing himself as like one of the best coaches in college basketball.
Yep.
Back-to-back national champion. I mean,
a favorite to go 3 in a row.
Good for him.
Good for him. Great for him. It's got to be. I mean, those are big shadows to live in, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, right. On both sides of that, though, like you're a basketball player, you're living in your brother's shadow. Then all of a sudden you become a coach, and now you're living in your dad's shadow.
Right.
You can't get away from it.
But he's a higher recognition coach than anybody in his family has ever been. And Bobby's a coach, too.
Right. But he's a better coach than
him. Right. But better coach than Bobby. And I don't know, better coach than his dad, but certainly on a bigger stage than his dad.
Absolutely.
Right.
I mean, dude, back-to-back in dominant fashion.
Right. Dad, high school, and big in
still
high school.
A legend.
I'm not taking anything away from senior, but legend. But Danny, to do it in college basketball, bigger stage.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever.
BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network. Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo!
over here.
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
A couple of nasty emails I received
already?
So far today. Yeah. Stop telling fake stories. You're not funny and you sound stupid.
What kind of fake stories?
I don't know.
We got to elaborate. You can't send a nasty email.
What he said, Vince
elaborate.
H. And then this Ted F. Your wife won. Shocker. You cheating bleep F you.
Oof. There's no real in between with you.
What do you mean?
You can think about my wife with George Clooney.
Like, people either adore you.
Right.
Love you.
Right.
Or
that would be,
despise you.
That would be adore.
Well, adore and love.
Right.
Yeah. And then despise you.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's good, though.
Yeah, I think so.
Like, I don't want people to be like, oh, Dave Rothenberg and be like,
Yeah.
Like, right, it's like, so, I love him or I hate him.
But I think there's a lot of people that would give up the love for less hate.
It doesn't bother me whatsoever.
Well, I know, which is perfect. That's why I like working with you.
Really?
Pretty much
it doesn't bother you.
No, it doesn't bother me, but I could pretty much say anything to you.
Nothing will bother me.
Nothing phases you.
That's not true. There are, like, occasionally there are things that could potentially bother me. Like when you attempt to give up my home address.
Yeah, but that's such a... but that's like the most random thing that would bother you. I've said way
nastier
things.
How is it random when he's giving up my home address that I get upset by that?
The only time in the history of working with him that he was actually mad.
Tell me you don't understand why him on the verge of giving out my home address and, like, streets that are located on my corner... Then I was like, all right, enough. Don't be a jerk about this.
I think that was the only time you've ever been mad, I think, at anyone on this show during my time here. One. Two, I do understand why that's a problem. But three, I don't know that he ever actually gave out the address.
He was giving out restaurants which are around the corner from my house.
Around the corner.
He was about to give out landmarks.
Yeah, that he was doing. That he was doing.
Like we said, Ray lives near Giant Stadium, and Ray had a nervous breakdown. You start giving out, like, the restaurant on the corner of my block.
I didn't know it was on the corner. I was just giving out a restaurant.
And Ray's still bothered by that.
Well, you did more than that, though.
No, I did not.
No, you were Googling, like, trying to find
you
exactly...
You were dropping hints about
yes.
the place
you
I
were
live.
Googling, like, luxury condo buildings near MetLife.
Yeah, with nice appliances.
And naming them.
Yes. Yeah. That was,
so
was not my finest moment. But it wasn't as dangerous as what you did to me.
How is it not as dangerous?
Because there's tens of thousands of people that live in that area.
No, MetLife is just as close to where he lives as the restaurant I gave away to where you live, I think. I don't know, because I don't know exactly where the restaurant is.
That's a major metropolitan city. There's probably hundreds of thousands of people that live within a four-block radius.
How do you know that it wasn't Ray that told me to do it? As retribution.
I don't think it was.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't think
You'll
it was.
Know.
I think it was all you. Because I don't think Ray's that. Let's ask him.
He is.
Let's go right to the Piper. Raymond, I don't believe it was you. You
I
can
just
be
hope that you're
me.
Never home alone when it happens.
Right. Well, that's great. Was it you?
I don't believe it was me.
No. It wasn't him.
No, you know what, Raymond, in his mind, he said, you know what, it's time for Dave to pay the Kiddler.
I got a couple emails yesterday from people that said they also heard Kiddler.
Yeah, we
got
to pay the Kiddler for having those rosters.
I don't hear the F. I don't.
I still hear the Kiddler.
We've got to pay the Fiddler for having those rosters.
The Kiddler.
Maybe he does say Fiddler.
I don't know, man. Sounds very Kiddlerish to me.
Yeah.
Very Kiddlerish to me. Right. All right, 1-800-919-3776. Yankees are, I don't think it's a real test of who you're playing right now, but you're 9-2. I mean, you're destroying teams. If you're a Yankees fan, we talked about this during the commercial break. When LeMahieu is healthy and able to come back, who do you even send down at this point? These are champagne problems the Yankees have right now.
Well, I think the biggest question, and you asked me this yesterday with the whole Cabrera thing, is long term, do you trust him?
Do I trust Cabrera?
Cabrera. There's a reason why they traded for Birdie. I mean, the only reason he didn't play was because he was just getting to the team, so they played Cabrera. Now Cabrera gets off to a great start.
Right.
And, okay, now he's here.
But that's what I've heard about forever.
Back.
Cabrera is going to be next in line. Cabrera is this.
Well,
Cabrera is that. Well, now Cabrera is that
right,
guy.
But you're also paying LeMahieu, though. Then who's taking LeMahieu off your hands?
Oh, no one's taking him off your hands unless you eat a bulk of the salary.
Right. I think what's most impressive with this Yankees team right now being 9-2, and I'm not going to sit here and pretend like the Miami Marlins are a good team, is you're 9-2, and Aaron Judge hasn't even really got going yet. Right? I mean, he hasn't even got going yet.
Right.
Like last night, it was, big three-run home run from Soto. Volpe, same thing. And then Verdugo gets himself going last night. And you had Nestor give you eight. I mean, didn't give his first hit to the fourth inning?
He was really good.
Rest your bullpen a little bit. Stanton pulled another fastball for a hit.
That's nice. I mean, again, Stanton is not going to be great, but if you can get through the season and say to yourself you have confidence, some semblance of confidence when he steps to the plate.
Well, I think, listen, I mean, you had a couple questions as far as, you know, whether or not you thought that this Yankees team had the ability without Gerrit Cole to, I mean, I guess compete for the division.
Right.
And then be a playoff team. And I think you said it, I said it, a lot of people said it, it would be have to, you know, starting pitching, we'll see what Rodon, it's a huge season for Rodon, Nestor coming back, like all those things with the starting rotation, but, you know, offense would be much better than it was last season, because last season the offense was terrible.
It was horrendous.
So what kind of start would Juan Soto get off to?
So Soto's been really good, You get Volpe, who's been great.
And that was the other big one.
Verdugo is, I mean, you just put him in left field, you don't have to worry. He's a staple out there. So now the Yankees are a far better team this year than they were last year. And I think that's evident now. And, I mean, we've seen them fall apart, and injuries you never know about, but I think they're going to be there all the way through, which is what I originally thought.
Yeah, well, I think it's what I thought too, and I thought most of that would be because the offense was going to be so much better than it was last year. And now, could you imagine when Gerrit Cole comes back, if he's Gerrit Cole?
No.
Right.
If he comes back and he's Gerrit Cole, I know it's early, but you start having the conversation of, is this the best team in baseball?
Well, look what's going on with the Astros now. I mean, Valdez gets scratched because he's got elbow soreness.
Right.
So who knows? Then they're off to a bad start.
Yep.
You already beat them up a little bit.
They beat up on the Rangers, I think, last night.
Yeah,
but
that'd be a big-time injury for them. They lose Valdez.
Right. Well, Verlander's not healthy.
He's on his way back, yeah. He actually had a pretty good thing. I saw it was like almost, it's like 4.5 minutes, him talking about all the injuries in baseball.
But how old is Verlander at this point?
He's old.
What, 42?
He's old, yeah.
Right. So how much can you realistically expect to get from a 42-year-old pitcher?
I think he'll be good. I think he'll be fine.
I don't know. I think, I mean, I was there kind
of Upton keeps him young
on the early side where I said Houston's going to be a major problem for a long time. I kind of feel like it's shifting in the other paradigm now.
Oh, listen, I mean, it's still early, man. I mean, I think you got to relax on that. It's still early. Losing Valdez for an extended period of time would be a big loss for them, though.
So Verlander is currently 41. Did you know he's married to Kate Upton?
I do.
That's nice.
That's what keeps him so young and spry.
That's nice. Good for him.
You know what? He actually made a good point, too, about the whole injury stuff that we were talking about yesterday. He's like, his mindset had to change when they changed the baseballs. He's like, as soon as, because before it's, I mean, you got to imagine, right? Like, you're trying to, the goal of the starting pitcher is, you know, I want to give my team length. So if I can, you know, early in a count, you know, pitch to contact and get outs that way, as opposed to trying to be, you know, swing and miss every pitch, full effort, every pitch, swing and miss stuff. He goes, you know, once they changed the balls in 2016 and everyone was capable of hitting opposite field home runs, I'm like, I can't do that anymore.
I got to change my approach.
I had to change my approach.
It's so great, though.
Well, now you're ramped up and you go, I gotta miss baseball bats here. I can't pitch the contact.
Yeah, but it's nice that he's that aware.
So like, now you're trying to spin the hell out of it, which is brutal for your arm. It's sure. As hard as possible. And now you got no sticky stuff either, which, I mean, doesn't help trying to spin the ball. I mean, it's just that you wonder why all these guys are getting hurt.
Oh, I don't wonder. I don't. I mean, it is the most unnatural thing. Everybody throws a million miles an hour. You know why Greg Maddux never got hurt? Because the guy didn't throw that hard.
Well, the other thing, though, too, is you see this with Ben going to Stanford, like the pitch labs and everything else, like knowing exactly how much spin you're putting on the baseball.
Right. I mean, they measure that.
Right.
When I don't remember that until the last couple of years, right? The amount of spin on every single pitch.
Dude, you can design new pitches with those high-speed cameras. You can design new pitches like in a couple days. For these guys.
That's really cool. I mean, it's too much sometimes for me, but some of the like analytics and the minutia that they're able to pick up on is really cool.
It's amazing stuff, but there's a certain point where it becomes too much.
It does become too much. Aaron Boone, early takeaway from the team's hot 9-2 start.
I would say that the contributions we've got from the entire roster. I feel like we've been a solid offense night in, night out. You know, we don't have everyone going off right now at the plate necessarily. I feel like we've been solid on defense and made really important defensive plays and winning moments. We've done a pretty good job on the bases. Our starters, you know, prior to tonight, we haven't got a ton of length necessarily yet, but by and large, they've done a really good job of giving us a chance to win every night. And then different guys have been able to step up too in the bullpen. So it's been a little bit of everyone that's allowed us to get off to this start. 11 games in. We got a long way to go.
Long way to go. And I'm sure there's going to be a lot of injuries between now and the end. And that's also true with baseball now as well. it's kind of a battle of attrition. Like, who's left standing when you get to October?
Right, but I think also what he's talking about is, which I think there's, I mean, they're 9-2. Like, how much better could it get? Is, you know that Gleyber Torres is going to hit.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, you know that Aaron Judge is going to hit.
100%.
Like, there are guys that you were like, well, you know, what is Anthony Volpe going to be? Can he take that next step? And give this kid credit. He battled through all the adversity last season, said to himself this offseason, never again will my batting average be as bad as it was last season. And he went to work, and now he's reaping the benefits of it.
Yankees,
he had a half-decent umpire last night.
Yankees 9-2, Red Sox 7-3, Orioles 5-4. Which, and I know it's early.
It's way
too
early.
I get it, but you, they count the same. I know we're sitting here on April the 9th, but wins still count the same. So if you can, I remember when the Tigers in 1984, they went 35-5. That's it. You're done. You've done everything you need to do. If you play 500 ball the rest of the way, you're golden.
Right. Well, you can't. I mean, what's the old adage? You can't lose the division in. You can't win it, but you can lose it.
You can't win it, but you can lose it in April.
You don't want to dig yourself such a deep hole you can't get out of it.
Right. Astros 4-7
right
now.
That's the thing that used to always drive me crazy about the Yankees sometimes, though, is that, hey, you know, sometimes we'll lose the battle to win the war. Well, the win that you're forfeiting now is going to count the same as the win that you're chasing at the end of the season.
Sometimes you got to win the battles.
Like, take as many as you can, because you know it's bound to happen. Someone's going to get hurt.
Like games like in the past 5 years, we've seen the Yankees play like a Marlins team like this, and they wouldn't, like, you got to beat the crap out of this team. This is
right,
a bad
take
baseball
advantage.
Team.
Like, you heard them. Our starters aren't giving us length. All right, we'll also take advantage of a bad team now, which they did last night. Nestor gave him 8 innings, which is great for the
bullpen. He was terrific last night.
He was great.
He was terrific last night.
It's not a great
night.
Team, but...
But who cares?
Like, it doesn't... In his mind, when he goes home and thinks about what he just did, it's not going to matter that it was the Marlins.
No, of course not. And it shouldn't matter.
I just went out, 2-hit...
Now,
no
from,
runs,
from our standpoint, what we do, right, sports talk, you have to recognize that he had a great start against a team that's not very good and
right,
take
but
it kind of with a grain of salt.
Right, but for an athlete, it all feels the
no,
same.
No. I'm not. He should go home and be like, 8 innings of like, shutout ball.
I'm struggling. I'm having a problem, say, for me as a goalie the first period, struggling. Right, can't get out of the first period. Always a couple goals in the first period. It could be the worst team that ever laced up hockey skates. I post a shutout in that game. Oh, I'm rolling now.
Yeah,
I feel
well.
Great.
Yeah, if you can't take like the baby wins and you know compile them into this is going to start you know rolling downhill, you have no chance.
No, you need that.
It's too hard.
Yeah, it's way too. Hard.
Here is Juan Soto. I you know what I don't like because I want Soto to leave and I mean ideally
he's having
to the
too
Mets,
much fun.
Is and again I think
he
at the end of the day it's going to be the size of the check that's going to make the ultimate difference.
You don't know.
Was out there in right field and
right,
signing autographs and, you know, making friends. And here's the thing. I think of any Yankee that can afford to be bad in stretches, it's him. Because the fan base can't really afford to turn on him.
Right, he has the benefit. Of
right?
They all want him back.
They got to play nice. Now, you sign a 10-year deal after the season. Next year, you start out 1-17, and we can get all over you. But right now, I think he's in a really sweet spot to be here
right
with
now,
the Yankees.
He's loving life. I mean, he's already talking about how this team plays. Like they're already, bonded as a family. You know, reports about him and Gleyber going out and eating dinner, having late night haircuts, the whole thing. Fans love him.
Love him.
He loves the fans. He's signing autographs before. He got off to a great start.
Oh, he's a great player. Here he is on the team being so close.
We all feel like a family right now, and it's only been like 11 games, and we already feel like we're sticking together, we're pushing together, we all want the same thing. So I think that's how I describe it.
Now, that's easy when you're winning games, right? Let's see what happens in the face of adversity.
Well, he's also had a little period there where he struggled, got off to a hot start, struggled.
What I'm saying
is
a team. They haven't faced any adversity at all.
I know, but you haven't seen, his struggles haven't affected his overall personality.
I don't worry about, of all the things, if you made a list of 40 things that would concern you about the Yankees, Juan Soto wouldn't be in the
feels
top
like
40.
He feels like the kind of guy that enjoys the spotlight, that enjoys being held accountable. It drives him.
Feels like he's a big city, big market, primetime player.
More attention, the better.
Right. Like Washington,
Yeah, well, it's not easy to get up for those games. Like, there's something to be said about knowing you're playing in a place where, the fan base is going to be engaged. They know what's going on, and they're going to hold you accountable for playing well or playing poorly.
But how many players in any sport relish the spotlight? Want it, relish it, can't get enough of it?
I think the best do.
Right. I think Mahomes does, right?
Yeah, I think the best do.
I think some NBA players certainly do. I think Steph Curry does. But it's hard. Like, what motivates a guy... like Steph Curry, who's been in every huge moment, you know, game 49. Right,
but I guess my point being this is that we start talking about those big moments. Those are like, you're talking about playoffs, championship kind of moments. I'm talking about like as you, I was just thinking about this. They're 11 games in. They have 151
games. It's forever left in the season.
It is. You want to talk about a grind.
It goes on
every
forever.
Every day to have the opportunity to play on a random weeknight with a fully engaged crowd makes it so much easier than playing in an empty building when you feel like crap. I mean, just it.
Well, what raises the level of your motivation?
You. That's it.
Right, but that's hard every single night.
Yeah, that's a bring your own.
So think about playing for the Marlins, or I mean, there's the Royals or the A's,
Tampa,
or right.
Tampa,
I mean,
sometimes when there's no one in the, like, you're a good team and there's no one in the ballpark.
Right. I mean, there's a juice, there's a buzz at these Yankees games.
But you can feel it.
Of course you can.
And when it's good, and you got the crowd behind you on a game where you like. It's just another game, and you feel like crap. I mean, it absolutely helps your performance.
Here's Nestor Cortes, who was great last night, discussing Juan Soto, saying he's really everything.
Yeah, it's impressive what he does. He's so young. It looks like he's been in the league for a long time already, which he has, but, you know, it looks like he's been 10 or 12 years now. He just goes about his business like a true professional. I see him in here every day and works hard, wants to get better every single day, and then he shows it out on the field. He goes out there and performs, has really good at-bats on the plate, and really good right fielder, too, so... It's just a complete package.
I know it's early again. Everything's with a caveat, but he's a much better right fielder than I expected.
His defense has been good, yeah.
You know?
Yep.
Like, I thought it was going to be a disaster out there. Like, he's a pretty good right fielder.
Well, but how much, I mean, a piece of me would also probably think that going into a contract year, new team, that he's going to do, you know.
Everything he has to do to be that version of himself.
You want to make sure he's not lacking.
I agree. And he's not.
Like, I'm sure there's times, like, right? Get a little lackadaisical. Like, no, I want to prove to everyone. What was that? That was the only criticism of him. He's not a great defensive player.
That was it. All right, let's break. We'll come back. The Mets. That was as good a win as you can have in April, as you've seen in quite some time. The Mets, are they rolling? I don't know, but they're playing some pretty decent baseball since a brutal start. 1-800-919-3776. DNR with you. 98.7 ESPN. All right, now, for the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and the experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people even safer. Call or click Grainger.com or just stop on by and say...
Hello!
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results. Fast. Constant Contact makes it easy to promote your business with powerful tools like email and SMS marketing, social media posting, and even events management. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. Don't know much about marketing? No sweat. Constant Contact's writing assistance tools and automation features help you say the right thing at the right time, every time. Plus, you can send with confidence, knowing your emails are actually reaching your customers thanks to Constant Contact's best-in-class 97% deliverability rate. Tackle any challenge with Constant Contact's expert live customer support. Plus, everything's backed by their 30-day money-back guarantee. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at constantcontact.com. Just go to constantcontact.com right now. Constant Contact. helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN. This is DPetro and Rothenberg.
I'm there. Bugs flying all over the place. Right after the game, I'm in the midst of speaking. Bug right down my throat.
Oh, you swallowed it?
So in front of 10 people, I'm like... This is why I don't like to leave the house.
Yeah, me either.
I don't know where that bug has been and the disease it could carry.
No, you're all right.
This is DPetro and Rothenberg.
What do you mean? It could be a malaria-laden bug?
On 98.7 ESPN.
Keep making noise! Keep making noise!
Nice, Anthony. DNR with you, 98.7 ESPN, 1-800-919-3776. We destroyed the Mets. I mean, 0-4 start. They were really brutal. Were they 0-5? I think so, right? They lost that first game against Detroit. It might have been 0-5, and then they went 1-5, 2-5, 2-6, 3-6, 4-6. Yeah, I think they were 0-5. So they've won four of their last five games. That is a game the Mets never win. Last night, never against Atlanta in that moment. I don't know if it was the eclipse. I don't know if it's clean living, but that Ozuna shot's a home run, and they absolutely would lose that game. So that is a sensational win from the Mets last night.
But it wasn't a home run. It was not a home run.
But the second it went off the bat, I knew it was going to be a home run.
I think he thought it was a home run until Tyron Taylor.
That was a good play.
Flying
that was
out of nowhere.
Good play. Oh, I have this little piece of information for you from the other day. So I was playing pickleball with a pretty big time Major League Baseball agent. Mm-hmm. He knows everybody. And I said,
"You got some really well connected friends, don't you?"
Yeah, he's good. So I said, "Tell me about David Stearns." I said, "Should I be excited about him?" He said, "If it were me and I was making a hire, he would be the first call I would make." He said, "He is awesome." He goes, he might strip it down. He said, "I expect him to trade Pete Alonso." But yeah, that's what he expects. He said, "You can't justify paying Pete Alonso $40 million a year."
No. No, no. How could you pay him $40 million a year?
Well, that's what he's going to want.
Well, I know. Well, I think that's been the holdup. I think he considers himself more like Aaron Judge than Matt Olson. And that's a big, I mean, there's a big difference between what Matt Olson got and what Aaron Judge got.
Right. I mean, there's no way he's near Aaron Judge. No. He's just not that kind of player. Mm. I like him. I'd like to keep him.
I like him too, but we've gone over this.
Right.
I mean, there's
a cap of what he's going to be able to do for you.
There's a cap, and as much as he wants to sell to David Stearns, and I probably more Steve Cohen, because it's usually the owner that gets like the emotionally involved and ends up being the one that pays a little bit. Like the GM will tell, same thing with the Yankees, right? Like you heard what Cashman's first offer was. And then as it got down towards the end, it was Hal that took it over the top because it's his money. And if he feels like he has an emotional attachment to the player, then I'm going to pay him. And that's kind of what happened. We're getting him to see and everything else. But yeah, like for every fan, your hope is you hire the right guy, ownership lets that guy go do what you're paying him to do. And that's what David Stearns is going to do.
Right. Give him kind of autonomy to make whatever decisions he wants to make. But I mean, last night, that game was done. I mean, you're the Mets in Atlanta, Julio Teheran on the mound, you're down 4-0.
Juliette, yep.
Juliette.
Yep.
That game, the Mets never, ever, ever win that game. Last year when they were desperate to win 1-3 and they had Scherzer, DeGrom, and Bassett, they couldn't get a win down. 2 years ago.
Yep.
They couldn't get a win out of that trio.
No.
And last night you find your way back, you say, you know what, it's April the 8th yesterday. Don't go so crazy. I don't care, man. That is a huge victory for the Mets.
Well, we never got up from that.
I mean, never.
Never got up
for the
that.
Entire next season, they never
no,
got up
never
from that.
Never got up from that. And yeah, right. I mean, you got Teheran on the mound, you're down 4-0, he gives you 2 2/3, and then you're going up against Charlie Morton in that offense. You figure, okay, there's no way we're going to get back into this one and give this team credit with how they started, with where they're at now, and you take into account, I mean, their best player, another Ofer. I mean, your best player is supposed to be Francisco Lindor, and he's batting 0.75 right now.
But he looks lost. Lost.
He's struggling. From the left side, he's struggling.
Lost. At what point, and you mentioned this the other day, and I give you all the credit for it, at what point do they start to think about, you know, maybe he should just be a right-handed hitter? I know he loves it, but at some point...
Yeah, I don't think it's them thinking about it. It would have to be him.
So he has to be the one that ultimately signs off on that?
Yeah, and I don't... I don't see that happening. So, I mean, you're just going to have to wait until he figures it out.
How
it seems like, well, I mean, his career, he's a slow starter, and maybe some of that is, or a lot of it is, because it's, you know, he's not as comfortable from the left side of the plate, so it takes him longer to get going, and you're facing righty pitching all the time, so he's going to be batting lefty until he feels, you know, comfortable. I would say this, like, at a certain point, with all the numbers they have and everything else, if it's clear that the numbers lefty, as far as, you know, bat speed and everything else, is not nearly as good as right, I'd probably think about taking my chances righty-righty.
That's what I'm saying.
I know, but I don't think he's at that point yet is what I'm saying.
Okay.
Like, as you get older, I could see that happening. But very rarely do you have a guy that just decides, okay, like that's had the success that Francisco Lindor's had as a switch hitter.
Right.
I'm going to give up the left side.
Right. And I don't think you can force him to do it. I think he's going to have to come to that. You know, you maybe you can nudge him. Maybe you can bring up the idea, but you can't
say,
all
right. Well, this would be one of the ones where you just like start showing the numbers. Like you just, here, look, we left something in your stall.
Right. But you know that guys are very prideful and very stubborn. So if you say maybe it'd be a good idea just to dabble in, you know, some extra.
And we have, I mean, the athletes have this crazy amount of confidence.
Right. I'm not saying don't be confident, but I think you have to be realistic.
No, but I'm saying like you can show them whatever you want. In their minds, this little thing, like, I can figure it out.
Right.
Like, you, dude, I was draining my ankles and getting cortisone shots to practice. I was walking out like I had a peg leg, and my wife was like, what are you doing? I was like, no, I'll be fine. I'll figure it out. Until you're like, no. There's no one's figuring this out. This is bad. You stink right now. But that takes a while. And I don't think he's there yet because you're only 10 games into the season. Right? I mean, they're only 10 games in.
No, I get it. I get it. But it's a great win. And Nimmo was, and he's had a real slow start to the season. He was unbelievable. And he hit nukes last night.
Yeah, a couple home runs. First five RBI game. Brett Beatty's been really good, too.
Really good.
I mean, he's been a
But throw some love to Nimmo. I mean, that was a special game.
Well, of course you're going to show some love to Nimmo, but I mean, Nimmo's one of the guys that you're relying on. There's a lot of people, in the Mets included, that don't know whether or not Brett Beatty is going to be your third baseman.
Right.
So, I mean, when he makes a play where he jumps up and the ball goes between his hand and his glove, and you're like, how the hell don't you catch that?
That was weird.
You got to praise him for when he's making some of these great defensive plays. Good base running last night. I mean, he had three hits.
It was excellent.
Good night for him.
Nimmo was awesome. So Nimmo was 4-for-4, 2 home runs, a walk, 5 RBIs, and 2 runs scored. That's a special night
Can we get, listen, J.D. Martinez, I mean.
He's working his way. I mean, it doesn't sound like you're going to see him that quickly.
No, and I think, is this body soreness, or you think this is, I don't want to get off to a slow start?
Well, I don't understand the body soreness.
He's taking live at bats now.
Yeah, I get that, but, I mean, he's been professional baseball player for how long?
I get it, which is why I think
it's not like they're asking him to run a half marathon.
It's because I think he's not comfortable yet, and he wants to make sure when he's up.
All right, but what's wrong with saying he's not himself yet? He needs more time to kind of.
Because do you want to hear that?
Well, I don't want to hear body soreness either.
We signed you. We don't have a DH. Right now we have DJ Stewart, who hadn't had a hit until a home run last night.
Which is a big hit, too.
Looks like he gained 30 pounds, is our DH. Like, come on. You soar is better than what we have.
I don't disagree with you, but wouldn't you just rather a little bit of the truth? Like, you know what? I'm not dialed in yet.
They're not going to give you the truth.
Well, then why speak at all? Well, so you're going to make up nonsense? Body soreness.
Give you some excuses.
I think that's embarrassing. No? You take a couple at-bats, you have body soreness?
Listen, however they want to frame it, he's not here.
Just say he's not ready yet.
He's not here.
He's only been taking live swings for 10 days, and he's not able to come up yet. I would understand that more than the guy's physically
fatigued.
Yeah, more,
but you
fatigued.
Still wouldn't understand it, though. Because this is, everyone was excited when we signed him, and it was like, because we have, our other options aren't good.
Let's bring him up.
Let's, like, we need him.
Let's bring him up. All right, so here's a question for you.
You trying to figure it out is better than what we're
for the most part, it is. Right. Last night, DJ Stewart with a big home run. Question for you right now. You win the first game. You have 3 more in Atlanta. Would you take 1-2 in the next 3?
I take 2-2 in the 4, yeah.
So you take 2-2 in the 4. Even though you won the first one, you'd still take 1-2.
Hmm?
Yeah, I think I would as well.
Yeah, I don't think we need to get crazy.
No.
But think about
that.
Pigs get fed, hogs get slaughtered.
Yeah. But how many of your teams can I say, would you take 1-2 over the next 3 games? You're like, yeah, I'd sign up for that. Not a lot.
Not the ones that we currently root for.
If I asked any Yankees fan at any point this season over the next 3 games, would you take 1-2? They would say no way. No chance.
No, but if I asked you to start the season, you won the first one against Houston, and I promised you a split, would you have taken it? I mean, that's kind of the, I mean, it's just, this is us in Atlanta.
I'm trying to think. RJ. RJ.
Yes, Dave.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. So think back to last week or 2 weeks ago, right? The Thursday Yankees great win. If we had offered you 1-2 over the next three in Houston, would you have taken that?
Not 1-2. I would have taken a split, though. I would have taken a split.
No, no.
I wouldn't have taken 1-2. No.
No, no, no.
No, no, but you've already won
after the first win, would you have signed on for 1-2, which would have given you the split?
Yes. Yes.
He's not listening.
No, he doesn't listen.
I was right in the middle of something. I'm sorry.
What are you doing?
I'm editing audio.
This is why he needs help.
I'm putting the podcast out.
This is why he needs
people
help.
People send me mean things if I don't put the podcast out.
You know what?
Quickly.
RJ, there's no winning for him.
If Dave and I have a little meeting here during the next break.
I'm not giving money for anything.
No, no money. And we decide it's going to be DiPietro, Rothenberg, Santillo, and Santiago.
DRSS.
Do you pay more attention?
Doctors is.
Because now your name is on the show.
Yeah. Then do you feel a pride that comes with the show?
Well, I feel pride now, but I still need to do these things. Who's going to put
his
the podcast
name is on
up?
The show? What are you talking about?
What do you mean his name is on the show?
He's responsible for everything.
No, but his name.
His name. Actually, we put his name on the marquee.
Yeah, but then, then who puts the podcast up?
What?
Dave, you going to put the podcast up?
I don't know how to do that.
Oh, there's no podcast then. Then we all get mean messages sent to us.
So you know what? The podcast goes up after the show.
Oh, no. No, no,
you
no.
can answer to the message.
Yeah, you've heard about them. I mean, you know how that goes.
They go crazy.
Nuts.
You think your emails are bad now?
We just need one more person. That's it. That's it. Phones, podcasting, that's it.
But to go back to your question, yeah, there is a scenario where I would take 1-2, given injuries, especially then, I didn't know what I know now. So, yeah.
Right,
but
at the time, they win the first game, you would have taken 1-2, get to 2-2 after four. Thank you very much. Away we go.
Yeah, going to Arizona, yes.
And you feel the same way about the Mets now, right? Like, they just won the first game in Atlanta. They have three more there. Would you take 1-2 over the next three?
If I were you?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree.
I will say, though, our pitching has been good.
It has been
really
good.
So, I mean, do you feel like maybe we get a little greedy now?
You know what's going to happen. You're going to get greedy, then they're going to lose the next three.
Well,
just give me 1-2.
Right, that's the fear. But, yeah, I mean, you have Hauser, Quintana, and then Severino.
Yeah, but Severino could allow six runs and 2 1/3. You don't know.
He's batting practice again. I understand.
He was good in his second start, though.
He was.
Let's go to our buddy, Wes, in East Hanover. Wes, we got one over you today. Mets beat the Braves last night.
Oh, man, I'm telling you, when we went up 4-0, I said, oh, this game is over. Mets going to roll over and die. And then the gnat that you can't kill or the thorn in your side that you can't get rid of, Brandon Nimmo, when he's playing the Braves, he just always delivers. He gets a walk, typically, in fashion. He gets a walk, he sprints to first base, he's still second, and the next thing you know, he scores, right? Well, last night, he's hitting bombs, and that is just uncommon. And then we have our umpires who are awful at their jobs at every level, calling strike three on Ozuna that was 3 inches below the box, and then that ball doesn't go out late in the game. It was just one of those where it was a wacky game, but props to Nimmo in particular and the Mets for coming back the way you're going to beat the Braves is outscoring them. And they did last night 8-7, so that was pretty wild. So I guess here's my question. I have a question for you guys.
Yeah, of course.
Long term, how do you feel about Nimmo? I like his defense. He's playing left field now with Bader. But how do you guys really feel about him long term as a centerpiece of this team?
Centerpiece? I think he's going to be a viable. I mean, he better be a viable piece. They just signed him to a deal,
right? Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't call him the centerpiece of the team.
No, I think on a really good team, Nimmo's like the fourth or fifth best player.
He's probably one of the core pieces.
Yeah,
what I view him. I view him as a number four, and I think you got those pieces. Francisco Alvarez is going to be
a star. Yes,
and if Beatty does what he did last night and he lives up to the hype, okay, now you've got two of your three. And if Lindor can do what he does, assuming that Alonso gets traded, you've got a potential of four really solid players, maybe not the best players at their position, but they're very solid, which your pitching has been really good. So who knows what will happen. But I was shocked that you guys came back last night and continued to come back. last night. So props to you. I appreciate you guys taking the call, and we'll talk to you soon. We'll see you later.
All right, that's Weston, of course, in East Hanover. It's so funny. I mean, the Braves own the Mets. The Mets have one win, and he sounds so upset.
Well, they're 4-0.
I get it, but
so, I mean, you hate to watch that one.
They
slip
do this
away,
to us all the time.
I understand that. Well, I mean, he's a spoiled Braves fan.
He really is.
He's got a great team.
1-800-919-3776. Get to more of your calls with the baseball. Get back to the college hoops as well. Islanders Rangers tonight.
If you think about that, though, I'm going to Bigfoot here for a second.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, how many players on that Atlanta Braves team do you think are better? Like, let's do a draft quick.
Yeah.
Just position players.
I'd have to bring up the Braves.
Nah, you know them all. How many players, but I want to see it in front of me. Would you take before you took your first Met?
I'd go Acuna 1.
Yep.
I'm just trying to think.
Olson, Riley. Are you taking the three before you take the first Met?
And who's the first Met? I don't know who the first Met
right
is.
Right now, I mean, in theory, it should be...
It should be Lindor.
Lindor or Pete.
I'm taking Olson, Riley, Acuna... And then I probably would take, I mean, body of work, I probably would take Lindor.
You got Albies, you got Michael Harris.
And Albies is terrific. Michael Harris is going to be a star.
Arcia leads the league in
right. Don't forget that their starting catcher's hurt. You know, it was nice to see Kelnick not be able to do anything last night.
He actually made a nice throw to home, though.
Yeah, I know, but I just figure, because the way Darno is killed, I just figure at some point he's going
to... He'll be resurrected.
All of a sudden, he's going to turn into the next Aaron Judge, now that he's on...
a Mets killer.
Now that he's on the Braves. But you're right. I would... I mean, Acuna, clearly, followed by Olson, Riley, then maybe Lindor, but then Albies and Harris. I mean, the amount of talent they have on that team, it's wild. It really is. All right, we break, we come back, we get to your baseball and the college basketball. We'll get to the NBA as well. And Islanders, Rangers tonight. So a lot going on. DNR with you, 98.7 ESPN.
Choking is the fourth leading cause of accidental deaths. One child dies every 5 days from choking. But let me tell you about LifeVac, a life-saving airway clearance device which has saved over 1,950 lives. LifeVac is the easiest, safest, and only non-invasive choking rescue device that can save the life of your loved one. For a small investment, less than $75, you can be prepared to save a life. Visit LifeVac.net and enter promo code ESPN to save 20% and secure your home kit today. That's LifeVac.net and enter promo code ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
DPietro and Rothenberg with you, 98.7 ESPN. Welcome back this morning. It's been a jolly show.
I was not loud either, by the way. Sat back in my chair, didn't make a word, didn't burp, nothing.
Let loose a loud moan.
Did I moan?
Yeah.
You moaned.
I was starting to do a read, and you're like, ugh.
Stretching, probably.
Like, yeah, I understand that, but I mean, realize that I'm doing
a
read.
I leave everything on the microphone, okay?
I get
everything.
It. Then get up, excuse yourself, excuse me. Excuse me.
Why don't you give me a second?
Well, he plays me my music.
Well, that's fine. Let it breathe for a minute. Then jump right into your read, animal.
You know what? I respect the timing of this show.
All of a sudden, you respect timing.
That's right.
You've brutalized the clock all show long.
I've not brutalized.
RJ,
have I brutalized anything?
Yeah, we have
maybe a dalliance, but not a brutalization.
A dalliance, perhaps.
It's not Grasso level,
but
it's close.
That's a Monocle Dave word.
It's close.
How dare you?
That was a good word.
What?
Dalliance.
Dalliance is a nice word. I have an elite vocabulary.
I bet you do.
Elite. See what I can do with words. Accents.
You are multi...
Math equations.
Multifaceted.
So, yeah. So, do you know there's a whole art to boiling the egg?
Yeah.
Sure. Like you. So I was like, yeah. I was like, what do I do for these eggs? She's like, well, you can't let them hit the bottom. I was like, why? She's like, no, you have to use a spoon to keep them from hitting the bottom. I was like, can you just do this for me?
Yeah, you're not equipped.
I was like, I'm not equipped to boil eggs.
No.
But now I have a beautiful 8-pack of eggs in the fridge. Take 2 this morning on my way in. Gobbling up eggs, just delicious.
Car must smell terrific.
What do you mean?
It's like the hard-boiled egg smell in the car must
smell. Well, it sounds like I'm rubbing it all over the upholstery.
No, they're in a bag, though. I know.
They're in a little bag, which is sealed.
Stinks.
Well, the bag stinks, but the bag's gone when I get out of the car.
You can buy eggs that are already pre-boiled, too, right?
Yeah, but that's got to be expensive.
I don't know. I'm just saying for convenience. Like, yeah. maybe you take those back right here.
You know what else? So she
put them in
the
fridge.
Boils the egg, and then she peels the egg and puts them in a little bin in the fridge. So every morning, I just take two eggs and I bring, because she's so wonderful.
It's like living at a hotel.
It's so nice.
Because that's really the hard part. Not the boiling, it's the peeling.
Peeling the eggs is tough. But to give myself a little credit, we were heading out yesterday, and she's like, why'd you wait so late? So she kind of made a mess with all of the egg shells. I went downstairs, cleaned it all up.
What a guy.
I cleaned it all up. Started taking wipes. I'm cleaning, I'm wiping, I'm throwing away. I mean, you should have, it was very high level.
Very high level.
It was big time stuff.
She must love that.
She loves when I clean.
Wakes up to a nice clean house.
Clean kitchen.
After just peeling eggs for you all night. What a woman.
The best.
You're lucky she's not with Clooney. Really.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong. Clooney's married now, though.
I know, but Clooney, I mean, sees how she, if it, God forbid he got a chance to experience.
The hard-boiled egg?
No, just like the amount of love and attention she gives you.
Mm-hmm.
She was giving that to George.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's, might be game over for George.
So there's a pretty good chance if she was with Clooney, you're doing the show with George Clooney right now.
Yeah.
Think of how different everything would be.
I don't think
it's like George the butterfly
Clooney,
effect.
Right, but I don't think George Clooney would be nearly as good at this as,
I think that's,
as you.
I think that's true.
Right.
But I think he'd be entertaining. And the probably. Stories and just the
but he wouldn't have any stories,
it factor.
But he wouldn't have any stories.
Well, he'd have stories.
No, he wouldn't.
RJ, you think Clooney doesn't have stories? Clooney has stories. Trust me.
He's got stories. Whose name you think comes first, Clooney or DiPietro?
I think Clooney.
Clooney.
Yeah, but how does Clooney, how long ago was this? This was years and years and years ago.
It was before I was with her, so it's got to be 30 years ago.
So that's Clooney's not Clooney, then.
It's not a lot of stories.
So it's DiPietro and Clooney.
Some stories.
No, it's Clooney and DiPietro. You know, his aunt is Rosemary Clooney, the singer?
At what point, when she met him, where was he career-wise?
I think he was still in ER. Like, he was a big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, he was
a big deal.
Rick played in the Olympics, so if you cut it off right there,
yeah. But here's the thing, and I don't think this is negative at all. Rick's fame stops with sports. Like you don't expand past sports. Clooney is, I mean, one of the biggest stars on the earth. Clooney's a huge, massive international
but
superstar.
30 years ago, was he? Is the question not now?
No, I don't think he was to that level. But he was still a big deal.
But that's what I'm asking.
He was still a big deal. A big deal.
Like she takes him out 30 years ago. He doesn't have nearly the same career, probably same. I'm just as far as like the good stories.
Probably not.
The single George stories that we'd like to hear, we wouldn't get a chance to hear.
Let's go to Glenn and Clinton. Hi, Glenn. How are you?
I say, Dave, you're nothing but a cad and a bounder and an imposter.
You think that I don't understand the accent of British? Is that what you're telling me, Glenn?
Jesus, that's terrible.
Terrible?
You're
an imposter. You're an imposter. Where's the lovely Sherry? I demand you bring her to me now.
I will not. Never will I even consider loaning you a darling lady like Sherry, ever.
This is poppycock.
Poppycock, I say poppycock. Rubbish!
You're rubbish! First time, long time, and I demand that you respect me.
I'm Mr. Belvedere here on the show, is what I sound like, and I will not have you diminish my British royalty in such pittance.
You just called yourself a butler.
I don't know what he just called himself.
he's the royal butler.
I'm the royal butler. That's right. All right, Glenn, what do you got?
I have to say, though, that the one time I called into Rick's show when he was with Han, and I can't even remember now what I called in to talk about, but the first words that came out of his mouth when I said hello were, throw another shrimp on the barbie, which is just a giant insult.
Yeah, sounds about right. Sorry for that.
Yeah, that's
all right,
I'm more mature now.
Glenn, yeah, he's really mature, as you can tell.
Yeah, obviously. Well, looking forward to a great season for the Mets. Yesterday was at least something to pin our hopes on.
Are you like mocking the Mets fan, or are you a Yankees fan that's making fun
of his accent?
No, I'm just asking.
I'm actually a long-suffering Mets fan, long-suffering Jets fan, and after watching about 23 years of the Knicks, I've finally gotten a decent season to get behind.
I love his accent.
Glenn, where are you from originally?
Sussex.
I'm originally from London.
Are you from Sussex?
One is not from Sussex, Dave. One arrives from Sussex.
Oh.
And I'm from London.
Oh. You're so gauche, Glenn.
Thanks, Glenn. He was good.
Yeah, too much.
That got uncomfortable for a second.
Why?
Mr. Belvedere.
What? That was Mr. Lynn Belvedere to you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
Royalty. One does not come from Sussex.
One arrives from Sussex.
You said Rich Simini has a mock draft.
A mini mock draft.
Little
baby. The large A mock.
Knew that was coming.
Why?
I just knew.
But no, I'm not blaming you. Why do you do this? We're your beloved members of the morning show. Why do you take shots like this?
Why must you lead me down that road?
You know what?
I don't know.
It's Clooney and DiPietro.
I told you it would be Clooney and DiPietro.
It definitely is.
That would be, talk about a handsome morning show.
We'll see where you're at in 6 weeks. Maybe you're right there with
you
him.
Could be like the, yeah.
What do you think is real, 18 pounds more in six weeks?
That's a lot.
Why not?
18 pounds in 6 weeks?
That's a lot. That's what we're working for.
You lost 3 pounds last week. So you're trying to keep that pace?
That's right.
And you just
ate two ice pops for dinner.
Yeah.
Don't eat.
Just two ice pops. I don't know how you're standing up right now.
What do you mean? I had two hard-boiled eggs. I had a tea, and now I had a little dish of
fruit. I know,
fruit.
But I don't know how you wake up on two ice pops
right.
And have the energy to actually like shower and get in the car and move.
That's the genius of me.
I wouldn't call it genius.
That's the genius that I am.
It's some kind of like modern medical miracle is what it is.
I'm getting it done.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.